coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
And here we are, coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52, right next to S4, Nellis Air Force Base, Area 51. This is the talk show that aliens choose first. When aliens want to hear the truth, they come here. Then they go lie to everybody else. This is the talk show Hell Hates. The more you listen, the more you know why. I tried to fix my garbled audio. I'm hoping it works. It's hard on the way this software is set up. It's hard to listen to myself, even though I have two sets of headphones. This headphone monitors this microphone, but I have a secret headphone underneath here, an earbud that monitors all of the sound coming from the Wirecast software that we use to stream. The problem is, if I were to listen at a high decibel to the overall sound of Wirecast, I would not be able to talk because it's like a second delay and you can't talk listening to yourself a second later. Can't do it. So I don't know if it's actually fixed the audio or not. I'm hoping it has. I gave it my best shot. I have no idea what particular thing I want to talk about today. I've had so much go through my mind since last Thursday. It's been unreal. It's been incredible. It's been good. And it is leading up to the Red River Prophecy Conference. We are getting on a plane Thursday. Hopefully it's not one of those they just pulled off the line. You know what I'm talking about. Anyway, we're getting on a plane headed to Moorhead, Minnesota, Fargo, North Dakota, Thursday. And we will start speaking on Friday. The conference begins Friday, I believe at 10 o'clock a.m. If you cannot physically be there, then it is streamed live. It will be on YouTube, I believe. Go to Titus213hope.com for the streaming link and information. I encourage you, tune in. I encourage you to, if you can, support that conference financially. I do. It's not my conference, but I support it. I support it financially because I believe in what these guys are doing. I know the men that are running it. They're just guys. They don't do this. They're not doing this for a profit because usually they either break even or suffer loss every year. But they're dedicated. They're dedicated to getting the truth out. And right now, the truth needs to get out. When my first two talks on Friday, and I think the schedule is on Friday, I'm scheduled at 2:30 afternoon and 8 p.m. I'm going to ask a question, and I'm going to be dead serious about this because of the nature of what it is that I'm going to talk about. I can go a conservative way, or I can just kind of go out there a little bit. And I would, to be honest with you, now that I know what the scripture says, I don't mind going out there because I know that I have scriptural backing for what I'm going to say. I don't like to say it. If I say this is a theory of mine or I'm guessing or, you know, whatever, I try to make that distinction between that and what I say, this is thus saith the Lord. If I say this is thus saith the Lord, then I'm going to read it from the King James Bible and it's going to be thus saith the Lord. So I'm going to ask a question. Number one, in the preview leading up to this talk show, I'm previewing a video clip. It's not ready to release yet. I am still getting stuff on this UFO thing. I hate to rush it. I want to get something out to everybody, but I hate to rush it. I hate to be premature, especially. I mean, I recorded what you saw there. I recorded that last week, and Thursday night at about 1 o'clock in the morning, I get scripture. And there was an issue that I was dodging, didn't know the answer. Now I know the answer. I know it from the Bible. So, and I'm going to try to share some of that today. I want to know the truth, because the truth makes us free. There is a lie that is coming, an incredible lie, a deep lie, a very ferocious, mean, damnable heresy that is going to be revealed to this world, and everybody is going to believe it. And I mean everybody, with the exception of one small group, Bible believers. They're not going to fall for it, because they know the truth, and the truth is going to make them free. So I want to know the truth. So I've still got things. I'm rewriting the script right now. No kidding. So here's what I'm going to ask. Number one, have you personally ever witnessed, and I can hear the garble, I don't think I fixed the audio. Have you ever witnessed an unidentified aerial phenomenon, unidentified flying object? The Hispanic form of it is OVNI, and I think that is Objetivo Vehiculos Non Identificado. That's my Spanish. Anyway, have you ever seen one? I can't say that I have, with the exception of that fishing trip that I had with my dad. We had this thing come across the Mississippi River. We were on the banks of the Mississippi fishing, camping out at night. Think across the river, bright light shined down on the river, shined on us, never made a sound that I could tell. Now, I'm just a boy. I'm about 10 or 11 years old. And, you know, my dad and I are going, what was that? And I'm thinking, is that a UFO? I mean, I don't know. Other than that, I don't think I've ever seen anything. Anything like a red orb or a glowing amber-colored orb or a set of them. These things love triangles. Triangles. Because of that number three. Now, the second question I'm going to ask, I'm dead serious in this. I would have never thought, I would have never even thought about any of this until I started. I came across an article, I read it, I went, no way. And then I started doing the research. I remembered some things I had read years ago, and I started asking Bible questions. Is this possible biblically? Because you know me, if there's a conspiracy out there or a conspiracy theory out there and I can't support it with scripture and you can't either, don't ask me to believe it. Don't ask me to talk about it. Don't ask me to expose it, because if I can't support it with scripture, it doesn't exist. Now, it may be true, and I just haven't found the scripture yet, as is the case with some of these creature sightings that people are seeing. I have never seen Bigfoot. I met a man, and I believe his story. I believe it. I don't think there was no reason why he would lie. He had no motivation to lie. When people see stuff like this, normally they don't tell anybody, because you're cuckoo, cuckoo. So they don't say anything. But his wife had seen some of my tapes. This goes back years ago. and she told him about me, and she said, you need to talk to my husband. He saw Bigfoot, but he doesn't like telling everybody unless he thinks he'll believe it. I said, I'll believe him. So he told me a story. I believe every word of it. But it begs the question, where is this biblically? In Point Pleasant, West Virginia, there were, and still are to this day, sightings of what they call the Mothman. Now, I know that sounds, whoa, but these are credible witnessed testimonies. I've watched probably 4 documentaries on just the Mothman, including the feature film. And these, one man in particular, his words, I got it. I got what he said. And that will come out this Friday. But I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever seen a creature that you could not identify at the zoo? You ever seen anything? Flying humanoid. Mothman. Large humanoid with, I'm going to say it, bat wings. I'm not making it up. I'm not. I have evidence. Okay? So if you've seen anything like that during the course of this broadcast, PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com is the email. Send me your story of seeing a UFO or a creature that you could not, that you would never see at the zoo. I'll say it that way. Tell me your story. I'll keep your name private if you want, because most people want their names private. They don't want their names, they tell their story, but they don't want their name associated with it. That doesn't mean they're lying. It means that this is so bizarre and they don't have a scientific answer for it. But are they really seeing things? I'll ask you this. Do people see ghosts? According to the scripture, yes. Now, these are not the souls of the dear departed. These are not that. They are familiar spirits. They are devils. So, send me your story. And I'll share it. I'll keep your name private if you want. But I have biblical answers as to what you're seeing. I want to read you something. I just read this today. As I told you last week, I had a guy send me a bunch of UFO-related books in PDF or ebook form. And there is a book called AD. And what does AD stand for? Like, this is the 2019 AD. What that typically stands for is Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And it's based upon the supposed birth year of Jesus Christ. 1 AD is the year that Christ supposedly was born. But we think it's off by 2 or 3 years. Not sure how much. But this book is called AD, After Disclosure. And I just started going through this book today, and I read this, and I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to put this in your mind. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, and for this reason, God shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. So I believe that the lie, the strong delusion that people are going to fall for, is related to the Antichrist, the revelation of the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist that's always been at work in this world, and the institution of the fourth kingdom. I believe that fourth kingdom is a kingdom of spirits, devils, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so I believe that there is a revelation that is going to be made to this world that the world will believe, they will succumb to, they will fall for it. And I believe it's possible that that revelation or that lie, that delusion, is related to this whole ET phenomenon. So this guy writes a book, and he is writing about what the world's going to be like on the day that full disclosure of everything that every government, every secret society has been keeping secret on that day when this is revealed. And he actually wrote it as, you know, we're going to call this AD1, just like in the birth of Christ. I want you to understand the phenomenal way that this sounds. Jesus Christ, this fisherman, this carpenter from Galilee, shows up, and we've changed our whole dating system after this man's birth year. This man changed history. So every year since then, we've been naming the year after him, Anno Domini. And the years before that, BC, before Christ. So now, the hypothesis in this book is, on the day that it comes out that this UFO thing is real, government's been hiding it, they've got stuff, they've got video, they've got film, they've got evidence, they've got dead alien bodies, they've got all this, you know, we've been lying to you, we've been keeping it a secret, now it has to come out because there's alien ships all over the world landing and, you know, whatever. This after disclosure, we're going to reset the whole calendar. This is going to change everything in the world. So listen to what this guy said. He said, if there is a final thought to the journey of AD after disclosure, it is a couple of words of advice. No fear. That means, do not be afraid to express your views regarding the reality of other intelligences interacting with humanity. For the truth is that more people believe this than you realize. Do not fear the secret keepers, for they are people too, who generally have done what they have out of the belief that it was best. Also, do not fear their power, as they are not infallible and time is against them. You have your own resources to marshal the truth. Do not fear the others, with a capital O. The others. Now listen to this. He is saying, do not fear the strangers, the aliens, the gods, with a little G, the others, with a capital O. Do not fear the others. We're setting up the advent of the fourth kingdom. This kingdom. Mark my words today. Will be embraced by all the world. All the world. They will embrace it. They will welcome the alien brothers. Welcome to Earth. Bring us into a new age. All the weapons will be laid down. Do not fear the others, no matter what that truth may be, whether they are angels, demons, good, bad, or indifferent to a fate, do not fear them. You lived well enough up until now, and you'll survive well enough after the great change, and that's with a capital G, capital C. Above all, believe in humankind, in our ability to face unexpected challenges, in the strength and wisdom that reside within us, waiting for the moment to manifest. It makes it sound as if this is going to be a glorious day. when the alien others come to planet Earth to bring in a new age of peace and harmony and enlightenment and marijuana and curing all diseases and giving us space travel and altering our... They want to unite with us. Why? Let's let them unite with us and bring this world to our next phase of evolution. Every secret society, every familiar spirit, every ascended master, every new age practitioner, every mystery doctrine on planet Earth is propelling and hurtling man toward greeting the others, the fourth kingdom visitors who lose their habitation. They get kicked out of heaven and can no longer be part of the heavens. So they come down here, and their only way to survive is to join with man to get man to launch an attack against God, to unseat God so they can have their place back. My mind is rolling through scriptures that say exactly what I just said. Revelation 12, Ephesians 6. My mind is racing anyway. But understand that there is coming a day when full disclosure will take place. And the number of people that want this is growing every day. The old people, even old people, are going to embrace this if they are not Bible believers. They will embrace it. Old people now have seen so much change in their lifetime that the lifestyle that people live now is nothing near the lifestyle that they lived growing up. And yet, you find with most older people, they're not bewailing the times we're living in. They're rolling with it. So, oh, it's got to change. It's got to let the young people take over. This is why we've lost the old paths and don't know where they are anymore. Last Thursday, I mentioned as part of this disclosure issue, a man by the name of Tom DeLonge. He is was the singer and guitar player and one of the chief perverts of the rock and roll group Blink-182. I mentioned last Thursday the lyrics of the songs this guy writes and sings is total and open perversion. And yet, he's a very successful, not just a successful rock star, he's a successful businessman. And he done well. I mean, he owns several companies. He owns a line of shoes and clothing. He owns a media company. He's made movies. He's produced records. Now he's left Blink-182. He's got a new rock group that he tours with. I mean, this guy's got it going. And he's now got a company that he started. And I made mention of this Thursday, and I didn't have all of the information. I've got it now, thanks to some of our astute watchers out there. They sent me information that I went, there it is. There it is. Now, I mentioned, I've talked about Stephen Greer, the Disclosure Project. Some of you have went to his YouTube channel and watched some of those videos. I'm going to say something now, and then if I don't forget today, I'm going to give you the evidence. Last Thursday, I could not say this. I can say it now. because at the Disclosure Project YouTube channel and website, they have multiple witnesses testifying, willing to testify before Congress, that they have first-hand knowledge of ET craft and, see, I can say this Thursday, I can say it now, ET craft, which are the chariots mentioned in the scriptures, angelic chariots. That's a thing. That's an actual thing in the Bible. And get ready for this. Sit down. You're going to need to sit down. Because the story is, 1947, a ship crashed at Roswell. Now, I'm going, I wasn't there. How in the world am I going to know whether or not this even really happened? I have no idea. But then I watched these testimonies. Now, if they're lying, they're doing a good job of it. And since I couldn't find it in Scripture, I couldn't say it. But the story is that along with a crashed ship, a chariot, they recovered dead bodies of non-human entities. Now, biblically, I believe in God, His Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the angelic realm, and devils. And I believe there are various types of all of those angels and or devils. There are angels that look like humans. There are angels that look like beasts. They are living in spirit bodies. Those bodies are bodies. They're not floating gas. They're not. They're not a toot in the wind. They are real. Okay? They have bodies. And I believe that it is possible. I believe that it is biblically possible that dead alien bodies could have been pulled from the wreckage of a crash at Roswell. I just watched a documentary on a little town called Aztec, New Mexico, where there was another crash not too long after Roswell. I don't know anything about alien bodies or that, but I will say now, publicly, that according to Scripture, I believe that it is possible. Thursday, I couldn't see that. Today, I can say it. So anyway, you have Stephen Greer and his Disclosure Project. In 2000, he brings out all of these people that have worked for the government, the military, NASA, various agencies that were sworn to not disclose anything. They now are coming out and say, I'm ready to testify before Congress of what I saw, what I know. And that's what a witness does. You're going to go in court. You cannot say what you thought somebody thought, or what you thought somebody else, or what you remembered somebody else. You have to testify of what you saw, what you said, what physically heard with your ears. That's what you have to say. And the whole purpose of this Disclosure Project is to get the government to admit that there are alien craft, chariots, cars, whatever you want to call them, that have entered this terrestrial plane. They've come into our existence, and the Disclosure Project is not saying, we need to warn the world. These are aliens. They're coming to change our way of life. We need to warn the world. They're embracing. Stephen Greer gets out with 100 people and he meditates so the UFOs will show up. That's the kind of people that we're dealing with. And they do. It's been captured on video numerous times where they'll meditate and all of a sudden these UFO, these amber orbs show up. Same color as what Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1. And they're embracing, they're reaching up, saying, come down to us and heal us and make us better people so we can fly to the stars like in Obadiah chapter 1 and Amos chapter 9 so we can escape Earth. That's what they're wanting. You know, Shirley MacLaine is too crazy to lead this group. So they get a medical doctor, they get scientists, they get physicists, they get people from the CIA to do it. Then they get Tom DeLonge. Tom DeLonge is the president of this company, the chief executive officer, the founder, the owner of an arts and science company called To The Stars. Meaning, we want to go to the stars. And the only way we can do it is if E.T. comes and gives us the technology to do it. So I'm saying to you people, the fourth kingdom of devils is going to be in. It's like they're saying, God, would you hurry up and kick them out of heaven so they can be ours? I mean, listen to this, what this guy said again in this book, After Disclosure. Let me find him. He said, whether they are angels, demons, good, bad, or indifferent to our fate, do not fear them. Whether they be angels or demons, that's exactly what they are. And we have been at war against them ever since Satan came and deceived Eve. We've been at war. The seed of the woman is at enmity between the seed of the serpent. And that's what this is all about. Website Stephen Greer has on his Disclosure website, ET Call Home or something like that, ET Call Us or ET Come Home or whatever. It's run by this Indian guru guy. And there's this woman that did a documentary that they sell, they offer it through their website. And you think it's about UFOs and alien contact, and it's more about new age, you know, telekinesis, telepathy, you know, channeling. It's all about finding your inner God and inner peace and all this. I mean, this new age garbage. And at the end of the video, she says, we want, I'm paraphrasing what she said, but basically she said, the whole purpose of us getting in contact with these aliens is so that we can become gods. Boom. I got to show you what a good friend of our ministry showed me about Tom DeLonge. They said, Pastor, take a look at these pictures of Tom DeLonge. You don't see it? He's a Mason. He's a Freemason. And he carries the square and the compass on his guitars. Let me get my little red pen out here. Here. Ah, come on. Where'd my pen go? There. Here. Here. There. 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 to the stars. Because you remember what the square and compass means, don't you? Oh, I told you that Tom DeLonge started another rock and roll group. Do they still call it rock and roll? I do. It's rock and roll. Jerry Lee Lewis said rock and roll is the devil's music, and he knows what he's talking about. So it's rock and roll. He formed a new group. You know what it's called? No, not E.T. Come Home. Angels and Airwaves. Here's their logo. Cue the music! In their logo, the square and the compass. I mean, it's obvious. Good grief. Even the way the two A's, and this is supposed to be like the letter N, angels and, or like an upside down A, angels and airwaves, form a square and compass. See the wings? What does that tell you? In the language of symbolism of the Bible, wings denote creatures that move through the air. Angels. Fowl of the air. And then, like right here, I did a close-up here. That's the all-seeing eye. And then over here, I did a close-up of that. That's the double-headed eagle with the number 33 on it. There you go. Come on. The double-headed eagle, of course, means the fusion of opposites in one body. This is a symbol for the Antichrist, the beast, the son of perdition, the man of sin, who is a combination of the sons of God and the daughters of men, or the heavens and the earth. Their Latin slogan down here, et ducit mundum perluce. You see something that looks like the word Lucifer here. Well, you're not wrong. What it means is to lead the world to the dawn or to the light or the morning. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, which is here, son of the morning, which is here. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? In other words, to lead the world to Lucifer. That's what it... Do I... am I wrong in that? I don't think so. Now, he would say, oh, I don't, that's not what I meant. But that's what he meant. To lead the world to the... Or just look at it like this. Look at the simple explanation. To lead the world to the dawn. The dawn of what? The dawn of a new age. The dawn of a new era. A new world. Where the aliens come down, there is now government disclosure, now the secret's out, that there is life outside of planet Earth. We're not the center of the universe, which I still believe we are. I still believe that this Earth is the absolute focus of this entire creation. Nothing else outside this Earth is as important to God as what goes on in this earth. Now I, and those of you who believe that, we are soon to be the outcasts of a society. Because as this world is ever embracing this new dawn, us being part of this old world, are either going to have to die off willingly or die off mandatorily. Because you cannot build the new world while the old world is still around. You have to change everything. It's like the question I ask. Project Blue Book started out as Project Grudge or Project Starlight. And Project Blue Book was the Air Force's way of sweeping this UFO thing under the rug secretly while they were working on ET craft out at S4. They wanted the public to think that if you believed in UFOs, you were crazy. And they hired J. Allen Hynek to come and debunk all of these UFOs. And he was ready to do it. And he changed his mind. Because of the hundreds of thousands of UFO cases that they examined, 90% were nothing. It was the 10% that were real that Hynek could not explain. He said, I now believe that there's something. So my question to the world is, and to you, if you don't believe in UFOs, fine. You can say, oh, I believe most of that stuff's garbage. Fine. How many UFO stories have to be real before we have actual phenomenon that we're going to have questions answered from the Bible? Just one. Just one alien craft making an appearance in this world, giving out evidence that something from the heavens is interfering in Earth's history. Just one of those stories has to be true. It's like the Mothman. I've read a lot of witness accounts, adults and children and teenagers and policemen and politicians and military people who have seen creatures that are not exhibited at the zoo. How many of those stories have to be true in order for there to be a phenomenon that we have to have answers to? Just one. Just one has to be true. So then we have to start looking for answers. We can't deny it. We have to know. Because if we don't know, then whatever the world and whatever the devil says to believe, that's all we have left. Here's what the Grand Compass is. This is why Tom DeLonge does what he does. This is why he is reaching up to the stars. The square is an instrument adapted for plane services only and therefore appropriate to geometry or measurement of the earth, which appears to be and was by the ancients supposed to be a plane. Now, I made that point several months ago when I was dealing with the flat earth issue. The flat earth people say that the Masons are covering up the true flatness of the earth, and they're trying to lie to everybody by making everybody think the world's a globe. Well, there it is, right there. The Masons actually are the ones who wrote about the earth being flat. Anyway, the compass, so the square represents this earth. The compass is an instrument that has a relation to spherical surfaces and is adapted to spherical trigonometry, or that branch of mathematics which deals with the heaven and the orbits of the planetary bodies. In other words, so the square deals with the earth and the compass deals with heavens. And look what direction they're pointed in. The compass points up, square points down. The square, therefore, is a natural and appropriate symbol of this earth, and the things that belong to it are it or concern it. The compass is an equally natural and appropriate symbol of the heavens, of all celestial things and celestial natures. It may be said that in man, the divine is united to the human. There it is, right there. So, why does Tom DeLonge embrace, do you think Tom DeLonge knows this? Oh, absolutely. Now, does he know everything? No, obviously not, because if he knew everything, he would run away from this as fast as he can. If he were smart, like you and I are, he would run screaming away from this and say, the aliens are coming, we don't want them here. But he's not. Because he has an Ephesians 2:2 spirit. The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the spirit that works in him, that causes him to use his fame, his fortune, his business skills, his media skills. He's doing what I'm doing. I'm doing everything I can to expose lies like his. He's doing everything he can to embrace the lies and get everybody else to embrace the lies. And there are more with him than there are with us. It bothers me to an extent, but it's not about fame. It's about the truth. But do you think that at core he understands the meaning of the square and the compass? Yes, zero doubt. He understands that the compass represents the stars that he's reaching up to, and the square represents us on this earth and us who are of this earth. Where do we come from? The earth. So what are we? The earth. We're earthy. By the way, the International Space Station, the Dragon capsule that just docked automatically with the International Space Station. They had a mannequin in there posing as an astronaut. They wanted to see if they could dock without human intervention, do it all by computers, and it worked well. And those who packed the Dragon space capsule stuck in and bought at some store a fuzzy blue Earth doll. And the crew of the International Space Station, when they opened up and they found it, they kept it. They sent the capsule back without it. They stole the Earth. You know what they called it? Earthy. Look that word up in your Bible. See, I speak symbol. I speak the language of symbol. And by calling that little doll that represented the earth, earthy, I think what they did was, now that which is earthy is heavenly. It's all about, look up the word earthy in the King James Bible. You get it. You'll wish you had a button to just go, bum, bum, bum. Don't you wish everybody needs a button? All right. The center of the apron, Mason's apron. What did Adam and Eve make themselves? King James Bible says aprons. And aprons don't cut it with God. Aprons were insufficient. God had to kill an animal and cover them with skins. That's God clothing them in his righteousness. The center of the apron is occupied by the compass and the square, representative of the macrocosm, which is the heavens, the microcosm, which is the earth, and the alternately black and white serpent of astral light. Think about it! I won't wear that button out. In almost every tradition, the set square is associated with the geometric square, the earth, and matter. Matter, earth, earthy. The compasses are linked to the circle, heaven, and the spirit. Do you see it? Now, since, and who was that? The Symbols of Freemasonry. Daniel Berezniak. I have that book. Let me show you this. Since he said it's the joining of material earth and spiritual heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. Are there celestial? Celestial means heaven, ceiling, celios. Celi, that means the ceiling, the heavens. The celestial bodies are still bodies. They still have bodies. A different type, but it's a body. It's not a wad or a shapeless mass of gas. That's not what a spirit is. It's a higher form of a higher dimension, but it's a body. Not, that's what your Bible says. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, one star different from another star in glory. So is also the resurrection of the star, the dead. It is sown in corruption, is raised in incorruption. Now, here's us. We shed the earthly to gain the heavenly. We don't combine the two. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to be carrying half of this earthly body and half of a new body. I'm getting rid of this body. Their version of it is keep it, but fuse it with the spirit. I mean, what is Mason's logo? Freemasonry, making good men better. How do you do that? He must evolve. How's that happen? Bring the heavens down. Let's climb up to the stars so we can meet E.T. In the fourth kingdom, are going to mingle themselves with the seed of men. And 1 Corinthians 15 is all about seed. God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So I'll read that statement again. In almost every tradition, the set square is associated with the geometric square, the earth, and matter. The compasses are linked to the circle, heaven, and spirit. And they are always fused. Never separate. Joined together. Pay attention around you. You're hearing slogans now. You're going to hear it in churches. You're going to hear it in advertising. You're going to hear it from banks. You're going to hear it everywhere. It's called Better Together. Better Together. What does that mean? What it means is we must combine the human with the divine. We must combine the terrestrial with the celestial. We must combine the matter with the spirit. That way we are all better together. This quote, you see at the beginning of this reading, an old hermetic symbol copied from the Materia Prima of Valentinus, printed at Frankfurt in 1613 with a treatise entitled Azoth. Upon it you see a triangle. I'm telling you, these UFOs love to show up as triangles. Not always. But they love to do it. Upon a triangle upon a square. Both of these contained in a circle. A triangle is the number 3. Square is the number 4. Think about it. Third dimension and the fourth dimension. Both of these contained in a circle. And above this, standing upon a dragon, a huge body with two arms only, but two heads. One male and the other female. Why? Because it's the androgynous god. Male and female together, which God said is an abomination. Now, consider the spirits behind this. Keeping in mind what I just said, a nation, a bitter nation, a nation that has the faces of men and the hair of women. Combining both masculine and feminine together. By the side of the male head is the sun, and by the female head, the moon. The crescent within the circle of the full moon. Now, I'm going to get off the conspiracy wagon for a minute and get into how neat God is. We are the only planet in the universe that we know of. I'm going to say the only one. whose moon is the exact same apparent size as its sun. The sun is actually 400 times bigger than our moon, but it just so happens to be 400 times farther away than our moon is. So that we are the only planet in our system whose moon can fit perfectly inside the sun and create a full-blown eclipse with a halo around it. We're the only planet in the creation where that's done. I think that is so cool. It's almost like it was put there. Because it was. Now, but they're opposites. Why? One is a greater light and one is a lesser light. You can't have both of them at the same time. The greater light is always going to overrule the lesser light. Oh, yeah, you see the moon for a little while in the morning, but wait till noon. That moon's gone. Never see it. When the sun is in its strength, when the sun is at the most high position, can't see the moon, and never will. But think about then its fusion. How do you have greater and lesser occupying the same space? I mean, think about those two concepts. How do you have light and dark? How do you have that black and white astral serpent? How do you have something that's black and white simultaneously? Notice that the hand of the male holds the compass. The hand of the female holds the square. It's because, and this is rated PG language, they represent their organs. Not going to say more. See how they've turned God's grace into lasciviousness? The compass, therefore, as a symbol of the heavens, represents the spiritual, intellectual, and moral portion of this dual nature of humanity, and the square as the symbol of the earth, its material, sensual, and baser portion. Everywhere, it doesn't matter where you look. Morals and Dogma, Secret Teachings of All Ages, Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry. It doesn't matter what source you look at. Every true Mason source is going to say that the compass is the heavens and the earth is the square. And those two are united together and they represent the black and white checkerboard floor of the Masonic Lodge. They represent the greater and the lesser light fused together. They represent yin and yang, male and female, good and bad, light and darkness, temple of God, temple of idols. Light and darkness, they represent all of those opposites fused together. They represent us, or humanity, achieving godhood by fusing with the divine, but not becoming the divine. Man's ascension to godhood, in man's view of it, is going to be by fusing himself with God's, but not just leaving his flesh behind. That is going to be both of their downfall. And I have a verse that says, alien, non-terrestrial entities can die. Let me read this. In almost every tradition, the set square is associated with the geometric square, the earth and matter. The compasses are to the circle, heaven and the spirit. Doesn't matter where you look, same exact thing. So that's what you have. Son of God, daughters of men. Oh, Pastor, you're one of those angels and humans guys. Oh, that's not possible. The King James Bible says that never happened. You're wrong. Now, I get you don't want to be associated with the Book of Enoch. I don't either. I want nothing to do with the Book of Enoch. Book of Enoch does not figure into my thinking at all. I know who the sons of God are. It's not a guess. It's not a postulated theory. I know, and the Bible says who they are. You don't believe me? Well, let me just open up a can of King James on this. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And again, there's a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. Who are the sons of God? Job 38:7. When the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. They are stars. And, drum roll please. The sons of God are gods. I'm going to prove it to you. Gods. There's all these verses with gods in it. Gods. False gods, other gods. Cursed David by his gods. I saw gods ascending out of the earth. God's here, God's there, God's everywhere. God judges among gods. Among the gods there is none like unto me. The Lord is a great God and great King above all gods. The Lord is great, greatly praised. He is to be feared above all gods. All the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Okay, gods are devils. I'll show you that one. They sacrificed unto devils, that not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers not. Now, let me show you that the sons of God are gods. I actually skipped a verse. Psalm 82:6. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judges among the gods. Here it says, I have said ye are gods, and all of you children of the Most High. There it is. Children of the Most High. Who's the Most High? God is. Who are his children? His sons. Gods are children of the Most High. Gods are devils, evil spirits, evil angels, familiar spirits. These are all gods. And as such, they are the creation of God. Oh, I don't believe that one. Well, keep reading the Bible. See, I've dealt with all of this. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. The gods didn't make themselves. Satan didn't invent himself. He is the creature, not the creator. Jesus is the creator, and he created all the gods. Thus, they are his children, good and bad. So, I mean, I could not reconcile this idea of, I'm going to read this one. I'm not going to give the name, but here's what I'm going to read. Dear Pastor Mike, I've seen a ghost, but one night I saw a small dragon. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. Don't laugh. I believe you. My brother had gone to the VFW, which is Veteran of Foreign Wars, in another little town about 15 minutes from where we were live. And being paralyzed, we have to take him and go back to pick him up when he's ready to come home. There are back roads here that are shortcuts to different places and towns, and I was taking one of those back roads to go get him. On this road, there's a sharp curve, so you have to slow down very slow. On the right is a Catholic church, and across from it is their graveyard. Oh, I got to play the music for that one. As I slowed down to make the curve, up from the church, there is one of those terminals, I think, for the phone company, and on it sat a dragon. I got a good look at it. It had a long neck and wings and was slithery like a snake. Of course, I immediately started praying and asking God why I would see it. My husband thinks I saw an owl. But what I saw. I'll show you something. Job 30:29, I am a brother to dragons and a companion to owls. Owls are almost always associated with dragons in the Bible. Almost always. My husband thinks I saw an owl, but I know what I saw. Owls don't have long necks. I have no reason to lie about this. And yes, people just grin at me if I tell them. I believe you. I believe you. Here's another one. So-and-so and I, I'm not going to read any names, saw these reddish-orange lights in the sky on New Year's Eve. We were going to the corner store to get ice cream. It had been raining, and it was really foggy. There was a really low-flying helicopter. These were farther away and just sitting there way, way too long. We live close to a certain international airport and a particular Air Force base. I believe you. It could have been planes taxiing, but they were in like a Big Dipper type of formation. You ever seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind? Go watch it. If you have not seen it, go watch it. Okay? Rent it from iTunes or rent it from Google or whatever. Watch it. Because of what you just said. Anyway, so-and-so took a longer, better video. I keep meaning to get it from her to send it to you, but I keep forgetting about it. I won't give that information. I'll try to remember to get her to send it to me and forward it along to you. Let's see here. Yeah, that's actually a Facebook post. What's up with the low-flying helicopter? People had noticed it. There's a picture there. I believe you. I believe you. Don't worry about it. Okay? Let's see here. Has anybody else got a story? I'd love to, if you've seen either an object or you have seen a creature. I don't care if it was a dragon. PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. I want to read your story. And I'm not going to make fun of you. I mean, ask yourself the question. Is it possible for humans to see spirits? Of course it is. The book of Job, let me show you this. One of Job's guys that, you know, lied to him and told him he needed to curse God. Gave this story in the book of Job. It's creepy. I don't know if you've ever read this or not. Let's see here. Job, I think it's in chapter 4. Yeah, Job 4. Now a thing was secretly brought to me in mine ear, received a little thereof in thoughts from the visions of the night when deep sleep falleth upon men. Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes, and there was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? This thing spoke to him, and he is freaking out. He says the hair stood up on his flesh. He got the willies, the goosebumps, the heebie-jeebies, whatever you want to call them. He got it. He went, that he sees a spirit. Abraham fed two angels, washed their feet, fed them. The men of Sodom saw two angels and wanted to fornicate with them. Those two angels grabbed Lot, Lot's two daughters, and Lot's wife by the hand. They were tangible. Saul and the witch saw. So it's hard to say. Saul. Do you know what a saw's awl is? It's like a rotary saw with a big long blade on it, and guys in construction use it to cut anything. And I was, when I used to paint houses, we were sitting in the garage eating lunch one time, and this old guy come in with a southern drawl, and he said, any of y'all saw a sawzall? And we just went, any of y'all saw a sawzall? So it's hard to say saw. Gods. One in particular scared him to death. Literally, he fell on his sword the next day. They are harbingers of death, I believe. I can make a biblical case in saying that they are harbingers of bad things. It's like when they show up, something's going to happen. In the case of the Mothman, and I want you to understand what they're seeing. They're seeing, they call it the Mothman. It's called by different names, the Owlman, the Batman, and there are, in other cultures around the world, there are different names for these creatures, but everybody's seeing them. They're seeing a human creature with wings. What is that? That's an angel. That's an evil one, but it's an angel nonetheless. I'll show it to you. You want to see it? I'll show you the best picture in the world of what I'm talking about. In Ezekiel chapter 1, out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Do you know what the term for that is? Humanoid. That's the term that we use. The phrase likeness of a man means that they had a humanoid figure to them. Most people that see these say they saw two human-like legs. They say these things were 7, 8, sometimes 10 to 12 feet tall. Their wings were incredible. And they would like stretch out their wings. But they didn't flap their wings to fly. They just shot off and flew. Sometimes they would hover. Oftentimes they would be perched, peering, looking over something. Sometimes they wanted to be seen. These red eyes these amber glowing orbs would be peering at them, wanting to be seen. And there was a rash of sightings in the mid-60s in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, in a wilderness area. One guy in particular said, "I've been in church long enough. I know what a devil is." And he said, "I started pleading the blood of Jesus." And he said, "This thing faded out and was gone." What does that tell you? I believe you saw a dragon. I believe you. And so your husband said he saw an owl. Do you get that? Study owls in the king. By the way, there are animals that you can eat and animals you cannot eat, according to scripture. Do you think God just cares about our dietary etiquette? Do you think God just simply cares about whether or not we get worms? You think that's the limit why God would say, don't eat this particular creature? God didn't just say that owls were unclean. He said they were an abomination. Look it up. Okay, I will. Leviticus 11. "And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls." Fowls are indicative of a spirit in the Bible. Consider Mark chapter 4. When Jesus gave the parable and then the symbolic language and then gave the key to unlock the symbolic language. He said, seed was sown by the wayside and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Things with wings, right? And two legs, right? So then he says, Satan comes down and immediately taketh away the word. Now he's telling you, you have a humanoid dragon figure with wings. And God didn't just say they were unclean. He said they are an abomination. The owl, the great owl, the little owl. These spirits. People are seeing large, and I mean 7-8 feet tall owls. People who have ET contacts say they see owls before and after. What kind of eyes do owls have? What kind of eyes do these gray aliens have? There is a connection, people. There is a connection. Oh, I gotta tell you. I'll, by the way, I'm still waiting to hear your story. PastorMikeOnline@gmail.com. Write in. I will read it. Tell me your UFO story. Tell me your owl story. Bigfoot story. Dragon story. Mothman story. Batman story. Praying mantis story. Do you not understand that the Bible says that this world is a shadow of heavenly things? There are creatures on this earth that are a shadow of the creatures that God has placed in the heavens. And people see them. I didn't tell you what happened at Point Pleasant. Point Pleasant is right on the Ohio River. My dad at times has dredged the Ohio River. And what connects Point Pleasant, West Virginia, with Ohio was what they called the Silvery Bridge. It was one of these bridges built back in the 30s. And they used this aluminum silvery paint on it, so it was the Silvery Bridge. There is a photograph of Mothman up on top of this bridge. Don't know if it's real. I can't say that. What I'm telling you is that bridge collapsed in December, I think it was 1965 or 66. 46 people died. That's a fact. I think they are harbingers. And I think that as the Bible and the presence of Christ in this world decreases, there are always more and more and more visual sightings of devils. That's my theory. That's what I think is happening. The gods are coming up out of the earth. New gods that came newly up. And they are wanting to be seen. Harbingers of an event that's coming. Now, is it possible? That a recovered, crashed alien chariot contained the bodies, the dead bodies of what I believe the Bible is saying are a form of evil angel. I mean, I could not, I was going, they don't. How can it be? How can they have a dead body of an alien if they're like evil angels, fallen angels? I could not wrap my head around that. And I stayed up late last Thursday night. I've been up late every night, studying, reading everything I can. And God led me to this verse. It wasn't what I was looking for. But then he spoke the verse, because that's how you know the Holy Ghost is talking to you, is he quotes the verse. It was back in Psalm 82 all along. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you children of the Most High, but ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. There it is! There it is, right there! I'm telling you, these princes are going to fall down from the heaven. What is a crashed alien ship? They fell from the heavens. They crashed. And what did they do? They died like men die. Angels are not supposed to die. They have immortal bodies. But because they are leaving the estate of heaven, God swears that they are going to die like men. Look at, with that in mind now, go back to Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen? Look at verse 11, what comes before verse 12. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? There it is. Lucifer ends up falling and goes to the grave and is covered with worms because he's dead. Because he says, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? The man! And back in Psalm 82, he said, you're gods, you're children of the Most High, but you're going to die like men. You're going to fall like the princes, principalities. Look in, it just makes sense now. Makes sense. Are you sending me your stories? Because I'm dying to read them. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, prince, the principality. Thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God. I sit in the seat of God in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God. There it is again. Three witnesses in your Bible. Three witnesses. We're a prince. Dies like a man. So immediately, I wasn't at Roswell. I have not been to Area 52, S4. Nobody from any government entity has ever contacted me and shared and disclosed with me top secret information illegally. So I have never, ever, ever had a first or second hand account of someone telling me personally, I saw a dead alien body. But I believe the Bible. And I know what it says. And I absolutely believe it is possible that there has been recovered dead, fallen angels. No doubt in my mind at all. I've said ye are gods, all of you children of the Most High. Daniel 2:40, fourth kingdom. Fourth kingdom. Why four? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. The fourth beast is the fourth kingdom, Daniel said. Shall be strong as iron. Somebody else figured this out the other day. They didn't hear it from me, but I've said it before, but they didn't hear it from me. They said, Pastor Mike, when stars fall and die and collapse on themselves, they turn into iron. At the core of every star, including our own sun, because of the nuclear stuff that's going on in there, they're creating iron. And iron is two things. Number one, it's heavy. Number two, it is highly magnetic. Highly magnetic. And what our esteemed physicists, our esteemed astronomical physicists say is that these stars that become black holes near the end of their lifespan, they create so much iron at their core, they literally fall in, collapse on themselves, and their gravitational pull becomes so strong, they fall. What's at the Earth's core? A huge blob of molten iron. The Iron Kingdom is coming. Well, let's see here. Oh, that's pretty cool. I'll have to use that. Appreciate that. Who's got a dragon story, an owl story? Who's got one? Anybody? What else can I read you? Let me show you. I've got like 20 PowerPoints pulled up here. Let me show you. Who believes in... Boy, should I even say this? Werewolves. Let me take you back to the Skinwalker Ranch. It is a ranch. This family bought it for cheap. They didn't know why they were getting such a bargain. They bought this ranch. It was going to be their dream ranch. They were going to farm and ranch and live off the land and enjoy the freedom of owning 500 plus acres or more than that. And it's located in the Uinta Basin of Utah. It used to be, of course, you know, most of America used to be Native American land. And all of a sudden they started having these weird things, and I mean weird, bizarre things happen. They had four prize bulls out in a pen, and they had a storage. What do they call them? You know, these people that make houses out of these shipping containers? They had something like that out next to that bullpen. And the guy went out there one day and saw the bulls gone. Now, the bulls are his livelihood. The bulls represent his ability to make calves. No bulls, no calves. And all of a sudden, bulls are gone. They were locked inside that storage container, shipping container. Stuff like that. They had an encounter with a wolf that was larger than, they're saying about 4 or 5 feet tall. I mean, from shoulder to ground, 4 to 5 feet. That was trying to pull a calf out through the fence. The guy shot it multiple times at point blank length. I mean, he had the gun right up to it, shooting it. Thing run off and just disappeared. Stuff like that. Glowing orb, UFOs everywhere. Turns out that the land, the reason why they call it the Skinwalker Ranch, a billionaire, guy by the name of Robert Bigelow, who owns a chain of motels across America. He's a NASA contractor. He bought the farm, formed a company called NIDS. They're scientifically investigating paranormal activity. So Bigelow buys the whole ranch from this family, gets them out of it, takes over the land, puts up cameras, motion detectors, sensors everywhere, hires a team of scientists to go out and live on this place and find out what's going on. And they soon realize that these, whatever is out there, is messing with them. Doing stuff deliberately to let them know that they're there. The guy who owned the ranch before Bigelow said that he walked outside his house one time and he saw this big bright glow in the sky. He went over there and he could see this glowing thing was in the sky. He looked into that and could see another sky through that, like he was looking into another world or another dimension. I can't discount it. They found this calf completely surgically debunked. Not a drop of blood anywhere. Now, you go, oh, that's okay, Hoggard, you're nuts. What do they need with cattle? You know what? I'm not sure what. Just know that God said that they would go after the cattle. Look at this. God said, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, a nation of spirits, celestial bodies. From the end of the earth. Where's the end of the earth? Where earth runs out, that's where the heavens are. As swift as the eagle flies. Now you have the eagle, an abomination with wings. A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Get it? A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person the old, nor favor the young, and he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle. There is other verses in the Bible where it says that they're going to go after the cattle. I don't know why. I just know they do. So, Robert Bigelow buys it. He's since sold it to somebody else because he could not find what he was looking for. He sold it to somebody else who's now researching the land. Bigelow says, there has been and is an existing presence and ED presence, and I spent millions and millions and millions to find out what it was. Ezekiel 22:27, her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves. Princes. What does that tell you? What does that word tell you? Principalities, spirits. And I didn't explain this. They call it Skinwalker Ranch because the Native Americans, the Ute Indians, they have this story from their past, because you know the Indians, They're involved in spirits of, they're involved with all kinds of beast spirits. Oh, the great eagle, the great owl, the great wolf, the great whatever. All of these, when you go into the smoke lodge, the sweat lodge, you've been starving for food and water for days, and you get in there and you start hallucinating, and then you get in contact with your spirit beast. That's why they call him Gray Eagle. They call him Silver Fox or whatever, because that's his familiar. That's his spirit guide. That's the spirit that is in him. It's a devil. But the idea of the skinwalkers and the Utes, these they don't even like to use the word, because they say just saying the word invokes the presence of the spirit. But they said that the skinwalkers were these ancient Indian witches who could change or transform into the image of a wolf. Now, I watched the Lon Chaney version of the werewolf. I've watched all the werewolf movies. I was a huge monster movie fan. I mean huge. Lon Chaney, Bela Lugosi, I knew all of these guys. I knew their how they put on their makeup. Boris Karloff becoming Frankenstein and the Mummy. I mean, this used to fascinate me. Do I believe you get bit by a wolf and turn into a werewolf? No. Do I believe people see spirits? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times, yes. I believe that all the fairy tales, all the scary stories of werewolves and vampires and bat-like creatures and mothmen and, you know, Jumping Jack and the Jersey Devil, I believe that these stories have a sense of biblical reality. I don't think people make some of this stuff up. Some of it, yeah, but I don't think they make it all up. And my point is this. I believe that as the world walks farther and farther away from the man, Jesus Christ, and it becomes increasingly dark, that these creatures are revealing themselves. Nebuchadnezzar, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast heart be given unto him, and let some time pass over him. So what happened to Nebuchadnezzar was he ate grass as an ox on his all fours. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. His hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, like probably like dreadlocks. And his nails like bird's claws. Now, the Bible doesn't use the term dreadlocks. It's saying eagle feathers. So I believe it. And what I'm telling you is that in every sense of the word, Nebuchadnezzar transformed into a beast. Now, you wrap that around whatever doctrine you want to wrap it around. But Nebuchadnezzar transformed into a beast. And then changed back. That's what your Bible says. Where's your stories? Man, I want to see your stories. I'm going to read that dragon story again. Let's see here. Where was it? Listen to this dragon story again. They were on the back roads. On this road is a sharp curve, so you have to slow down very slow. I want you to listen to the detail. It's not a drunk person. They're describing, this thing was so vivid, and you know, there are times when your brain remembers more. And this person remembers some of the minute details. Back roads, shortcuts. On this road, there's a sharp curve, so you have to slow down very slow. On the right is a Catholic church. Listen to the detail. Catholic church. And across from it is their graveyard. They love dead things. As I slowed down to make the curve up from the church, there is one of those terminals, I think, for the phone company, and on it sat a dragon. I got a good look at it. Had a long neck and wings and was slithery like a snake. Of course, I immediately started praying and asking God why I would see it. My husband thinks I saw an owl, but I know what I saw. Let me show you something that came up in my research about dragons. Oh, let me show you that. That's a skinwalker. They transform into beasts. Is it possible? God said it was. China. The celestial Chinese dragon is comparable as the symbol of the Chinese race itself. The Chinese and the Japanese people believe that they are descendants of dragons. Bum, bum, bum. Now remember what direction China is. Chinese around the world proudly proclaim themselves as Lung Tik Huan Ren, descendants of the dragon. Dragons are referred to as the divine mythical creature that brings with it ultimate abundance, prosperity, and good fortune. Go to your Chinese restaurant. You think it's just set decoration? These people actually believe that dragons bring them luck.
I'm a luck dragon.
They are the angels of the Orient. Instead of being hated, they are loved and worshipped. Temples and shrines have been built to honor them, for they counted the rain, rivers, lakes, and seas. For they control the rain, rivers, lakes, and seas. What does that make them? Elementals. Earth, air, fire, and water. We have a prince of the power of the air. Dragons control the water. Where did Job see Leviathan? In the water. What do rivers look like? Serpents. Many Chinese have pagodas where people used to burn incense and pray to dragons. They still do that. It's not used to. They still do it. Both male and female dragons have mated with humans. The Japanese Emperor Hirohito traced his ancestry back 125 generations to Princess Fruit Jewel, daughter of a dragon king of the sea. See, that was his right to rule over the Japanese people and to tell them to go die by crashing their plane into American naval ships. The dragon told them to do it, and they did it gladly. The dragon is the ultimate representation of the forces of Mother Nature, the greatest divine force on earth. It is regarded as the supreme being amongst all creatures. Your Bible has everything you need to know about dragons. Look at this. In Chinese mythology, Fu Shi and Nu Wa are the father and mother of the human race. Look at this. It makes you wonder why, when Francis Crick was trying to figure out how DNA was made, he took LSD. And when he took the LSD, the doors of his mind start opening up. Now he has access to a whole new world of information that he would have never accessed with those doors closed. Once those doors are opened, Francis Crick sees the shapes of two entwined serpents. Taking his pencil and his scratch pad, he scratches out the form of the double helix of DNA. And because he took small amounts of LSD, he wins a Nobel Prize.
Fushi and Nuwa, the father-mother human race, and after a great deluge, think of that, they create children out of the clay of earth. Well, it's not wrong there. They hold the Masonic symbols of the Southern Compass. How did two Chinese mythological creatures from thousands of years ago end up holding modern Masonic tools? There is one secret. One secret. That secret is about to be revealed one of these days. That secret will reshape heaven and earth. It will change everything. Every financial thing. Every political thing. Every scientific thing. Every religious thing. Every social thing. Every thing on this earth will change on AD 1. The day after disclosure of the strong illusion from 2 Thessalonians 2:11. And we are no longer living in a world that is working against the revelation of that delusion. We now live in a world that will embrace and share that delusion with everybody else. And those who will not follow after that delusion will be hated, despised, outcast, rejected, hunted, and killed. But by the grace of God, we stand. And having done all to stand, stand in the evil day, people. It's coming. It is coming as sure as I'm leaving. It's coming. Red River Prophecy Conference. This weekend. Don't miss it. Call Paul McRae. He knows a lot about the New Age. And I have a feeling that what he's going to say is going to be another piece of what I'm going to see. You know what I'm going to say now. You know I'm going to disclose that I think both aliens and beasts are increasing their presence here on this earth. And that itself is proof that we are stepping into a new age. So pray for all of us. Michael and Alicia have to leave because there's snowstorms coming up into Fargo. And so pray for their safety of travel. When we land, we might very well be landing in the midst of a blizzard. So pray for us as we travel. Pray for me as I speak. Pray that God will give me the health, the body. Because, you know, some days I hurt so bad, I can't even hardly get up. I got a lot of work to do. Pray for me. Pray for our church. You're the reason why I am here. I wanted you to know what God has been gracious enough to share with me. Now you know it. Okay? You know it because I love you. God loves you. God loves me. And I'm not any better than you.